I think that that's been the biggest gift of being a parent for me is like really being able to zoom out and see things from that big perspective, you know?
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by RPACT. RPACT is the one app every parent needs to keep their children safe when online and teach them healthy digital habits. With RPACT, it is a breakthrough parental control app that harnesses the power of the internet and application blocking in order to teach children proper device use and responsibility. It is the most comprehensive parental control app and family locator, and it's perfect for family of any size. RPACT is easy to use, easy to set up, and great for parents and families who are concerned with their children's overuse of technology. Whether you're introducing a device to your child for the first time or simply have a teenager who spends way too much time on social media, RPACT is the perfect parental control app solution for your family. For more information and download the RPACT app, go to their website at rpact.com. And make sure you check out my interview with Michelle Havner from RPACT as we talk about her parenthood journey as well as great ways that you can keep your kids safe while they grow up in this digital age. What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have the very talented John King. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, bro. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, we're going to talk about your music. We're going to talk about your new album, Always Gonna Be You. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things, but the main reason I want to bring you on here is talk about fatherhood. You had it was a really cute moment where you shared on your socials and all that with your daughter coming out and dancing with you. I thought that was, those are the moments that are just like video scrapbook, right? It's just like a moment in time that you guys will always have together forever. So I love that. But when you found out you're going to be a dad, man, what was going through your mind, sir?
I don't know. I mean, as you know, man, it's just like such a rush of all different kinds of emotion. I mean, obviously excitement, fear, you know, especially when we found out that Scarlett was going to be a girl. I mean, I'd grown up around boys my whole life. So I understood, you know, growing up around boys, and I'd helped like in our church growing up with kids. And I was kind of like in charge of the little boy group. But like with girls, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, this is like uncharted territory. So I was a little scared, man, but I mean, I love a challenge. Like, I love the unknown. And like, to me, I was like, okay, like a girl, like this is going to be fun. And honestly, dude, I mean, it's been amazing. And she's three now, and she's an absolute firecracker, like just strong willed, you know, and yeah, but creative and goofy and just hilarious. So she's a great kid, man. It's been really fun. And then it's, you know, it's been awesome to like, you know, have this extra time at home with her too, you know, this past year, and kind of watch her turn from a baby into a little girl. I mean, it's such like a big transition there, you know, like in those toddler years.
Yeah, no doubt. It's funny because I, you know, you're talking about like, you know, you growing up around boys and all that stuff. You were helping out at the church. I'm the youngest of three, and I had two older sisters. So like we have two daughters, 13 and 11, and they, trust me, she has your back now, but as they get older, they're going to have your back like no matter what. It's great, right? You know, the hashtag girl dad has been, you know, kind yeah of been on social and all that stuff. But there's a reason for that. Like, I feel like there's a special yeah bond between a dad and a daughter. So I know yeah you're experiencing that. And I love it. And you mentioned creativity. That's cool. And that's great because obviously you and your wife are instilling that into your daughter. And of course, you being a musician, you got to be creative, right? You got to come up with all this music. So creativity.
Yeah.
Is one trait and one value, but talk about some of the other values you're looking to instill into her.
Man, work ethic. I mean, my parents really put that in me at an early age, and I think it's definitely been the reason I've gotten to where I've gotten. Is for no, it's not talent, man. Like, you know, I was, you know, I just kind of have always been a grinder and have worked hard. I mean, there's so many more talented people than me in this town. It's just been kind of been willing to work and willing to put in the time. And my parents, you know, my mom was a principal, you know, worked her way up from teaching sixth grade to being a principal. My dad worked at a textile plant there in Habersham County, and they were just grinders, man. Like, I just watched them work, and they never complained. And you know, they got the bills paid and put food on our table, man. Like, in hindsight, like that was it was really overcoming the odds, like through a lot of hard times. And I definitely want Scarlett to have that same work ethic. And, you know, as a parent, I think the biggest battle for me and for most parents, it's like you want to give your kids everything, like you want them to be, but, you know, sometimes we can hurt them doing that. So we're still like trying to find that balance with, a young daughter of like, what is the perfect, I don't know if there is a perfect answer, but that's a tough thing, you know, when you are trying to instill those values, but also just want to be a good parent too, you know.
Oh, for sure, John. Like, yeah, there is that fine line because I think like every generation's like, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. My kid's gonna get that, right?
You're like, exactly.
You want them to earn it. So there's that thing where you're like, okay, and like my wife, she didn't have an allowance. It was like, pitch in, you're here and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
For me and my sisters, my parents are like, you do stuff, you can get an allowance. So we kind of did a thing where like each week they get an allowance, but they have to do stuff, and like some money goes into savings, some money goes into like their fund for whatever they want to buy. And so you and your wife will find that medium, that happy place where it's like, all right, we're spoiling her sometimes, and then like she's got to earn this for something else. So I love that, man. And for you, and I think for creative people like yourself, like musicians, you're always kind of maybe looking at yourself inwardly, outwardly, you're just looking at all the different perspectives to write a great song or just to kind of tap into that human emotion. So this, I'm not saying it's going to be easy for you, but I'm guessing you've probably thought about this. What is something that your daughter has taught you about life or maybe yourself that you'd like to share with me?
She has really helped me put my priorities into perspective, as kids do, man. Like, I don't ever think I truly realized what was really important in life until I had a kid, until I had Scarlett. We work and we grind and we have our dreams and we have these things we chase. And then you have a kid and it's like, man, like nothing really matters except this, you know? And that's been the biggest lesson for me because, I've always, tried my best to put family first, to put my relationships first, you know, to put the important things first. But when you have a kid, man, it's just right there. Like, it's so obvious that this is the only thing that matters. And it was a real wake-up call for me, man. And, you know, it's weird, too, because you still, like, part of you realizes you pivot, you know, to, like, putting your family, putting everything, you know, putting your kid first. But you also still work harder than ever, too, and want to grind harder than ever because you have this, you know, life to provide for and this human to raise, this, future adult to raise. So, it's a weird thing, man. It's like it's a priority shift, but I think it's all for the better. And, I think that that's been the biggest gift of being a parent for me is like really being able to zoom out and see things from that big perspective, you know?
Well, yeah, great, great perspective on that. And I thank you for sharing that. And I think you are in a great place to answer this question. And it doesn't have to be a piece of advice because sometimes you're like, oh, you know, parents get, you know, advice left and right when they become a new parent and all that stuff, so I don't want to inundate them. So it can either be a piece of advice or it can be a dad hack. Your daughter's 3 years old. For new dads, listen to this. All of a sudden, they're like, oh my gosh, all these things, all these emotions. Is there a dad hack that you've experienced that you'd like to share or a piece of advice you'd like to share? Either or, man.
My wife says that, like, my hidden talent as a dad, and I didn't know this. Like, I for some reason, I guess I just do this. Well, I'm like the master of distraction.
Nice.
And I think when you have, you know, especially a young, like a toddler, you know, I mean, you go through the 2 or 3 year old phase, you know, where they just are kind of like trying to figure things out. And it's kind of, sometimes your biggest savior can just be good old fashioned distraction. Like, hey, and Scarlett's very, which is, you know, a good quality of hers, but she's so hyper-focused when she gets something on her mind, man. It's like, that's all she can think about. And I'm the same way. So I kind of, you know, I sympathize with that, but it's at the same time, it's like the only way to turn those wheels off is to just go to the next thing. Like, oh my gosh, is that a cat running through our yard or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just immediately hit them with something that takes their brain off. And that's been a big help for us, man. But I wouldn't say like I did that intentionally at all. It's just like something, survival of the fittest.
Or it's that innate, you know, ability that you have as a dad, right? I think there's certain qualities that we each bring to the table in any relationship and especially parenting. I love that. Master of distraction. That's a good thing. So people listening out there, follow, you know, John's way. And like, you're right, 100%, because if you can kind of distract them, especially when they get a cut or a boo-boo or something along those lines, and it's like that, roller coaster. Like it's like you see them like getting ready for like this big scream and all this stuff. You're like, all right, here we go. But like you try and distract them and whatever the case may be. So that's good right there. congratulations on your album, Always Gonna Be You.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate the different songs on there. But talk a little about, like, I love hearing the creative process, right? And everybody has approaches, music, writing, whatever the art, all different ways. So for you, when you approach an album, do you approach each song the same way? Or does, like, lightning hit you and then you get inspired and you do something? Or how does it work for each song? Do you, like, for me, I'm a robot and it's like I'm very routine oriented, right? Running a site about fatherhood and all that stuff is very different than writing music. But for you, do you have like a regular creative process, or is it kind of depends on like what you like, what strikes you?
Yeah. I mean, to some extent, like even though I'm in a creative field, like I would say I'm pretty dang regimented. Like I love having a routine, you know, the most that I possibly can. But for writing songs, like I at least try to set myself up with like some boundaries, like some, you know, maybe like a certain window of time to work in to, that kind of helps keep, you know, the horses from running too wild on me. But I mean, it's also like, it's just such a creative thing that, man, I don't know if I've ever written a song the same two ways. Like, you know, no song has ever come to me like the exact same way as the last one. Sometimes it's a lyric, sometimes it's a melody, it's an idea, something somebody says, something my daughter says or my wife or something I've lived, you know, and it's like, it's always different, but it's always like a cool thing to try to run that down and figure out how to capture that. And I've heard someone say like the only difference between a songwriter and just a normal everyday person is a songwriter's just got like that antenna up all the time, you know, just like always listening for ideas, always hearing them in a conversation or, you know, anything like that. But for me, man, it's always, changing and that's the fun part about it. You know, you can try to, I'm a control freak, so I try to control as much as I can, but that's the one thing you can't control is like when inspiration is going to hit you. And there's something kind of cool about that and beautiful, you know?
Oh, for sure. And again, thank you for sharing that. And this might be a tough question, but is there like a song on the album that means a little bit more than the others just because maybe that was the catalyst for the album, or maybe it was something that you didn't think, like you started working on it and you're like, I don't know if this is going to be, you know, something all of a sudden it turns into, you're like, where did that come from? Right. Is there just like, and it doesn't have to be your favorite song, but is there a song that means a lot to you on this album that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, man. I mean, probably, I mean, there's a few on there that are about my family, you know, and those are really close and personal songs. Your Man is on there is one that I really wrote kind of first person, very autobiographical. There's another one on there, that I'm really proud of called Prettiest Girl in the Room that kind of talks about like, you know, that Scarlett in that delivery room, that feeling, you know, that new dad feeling that's like so special. And then probably the one that was like the biggest surprise to me that kind of came later on after I'd say probably the last song we wrote for this record. And it ended up being the one for me that kind of anchors the whole record. It's the last song on there. It's called Better Man. And it was a song that just kind of just poured out of nowhere. We wrote that earlier this year during COVID. You know, we were quarantined and we did it on Zoom, which is sometimes hard, you know, to kind of hit that creative strive when you're not like in the room with people and kind of feeding off their energy. But we had this idea, man, and it's basically just a song about me and my relationship with my daughter. And it was so first person, like so real, that it's just like one of those songs that even now when I hear it, man, I just like tear up because I think like this is exactly, it's you know, it's kind of like a love letter to her. And so that one's the one to me that kind of surprised me, you know, making it on the album last minute and turned out to be, I think, the heart, you know, right there at the bottom of the record.
Love it, man. And so seeing all the videos and seeing the songs and all that stuff, I know fatherhood has definitely influenced your career and all that.
Yeah.
In terms of just like, besides being influenced and all that, do you think before you became a dad, like what is something, and it doesn't have to, when I say this, it's going to sound weird, it doesn't have to be about being a dad or any songs about being a father. But is there something that you have seen that has changed the way you approach music since you became a dad? And again, it doesn't have to be a parenting theme or a song about your daughter, but just things in general, have you picked up more since you became a father in terms of creativity or just the way you approach music?
Yeah, man, I think it's definitely, I think that whole broad perspective thing has helped me as a songwriter, you know, like being a dad kind of helps you zoom out, right? And like we talked about putting our, you know, our priorities in check. a little. And I think that helps creatively too, because I think it helps you see the world from a little bit of a bigger scope, you know? I mean, when you're a parent, right, you look at people differently because you start looking at everybody around you as kids, you know? You start looking I told my wife the other night, we were having this conversation, it's so hard as a parent, if you really think about it, if you look at someone as a kid, like that is somebody's daughter or son, you know, they have a mom or dad out there somewhere or did, you know, everybody, you know, obviously at some point did. So it's like, when you look at it that way, it's really hard to be mad at people. It's hard to hold a grudge. You know, it's hard to like really have like any kind of hate in your heart toward a person when you look at them as a child. And like, I think that's been a big perspective shift for me, and it's helped me creatively to like, be able to write from other perspectives, I think, a little bit easier than I could before, and, you know, kind of walk a mile in somebody else's shoes a little easier.
What a great way. Another thing that you can, you know, instill into your daughter about, like, you know, walk someone in someone's shoes for a mile before you, like, you judge them or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But John, that's refreshing, and I wish more people had that perspective. So everyone's just like not violent, like yelling at each other. I love it. One more question before the Fatherhood Quick Five. And, you know, I saw, you know, reading up on you while I was, you know, setting up for this interview. I know, like, the Black Crowes, Skynyrd, Eric Church, yeah, Johnny Cash, James Taylor are influences and all that. But, like, was there one artist that kind of, like, brought you into this world, into the, like, you know what, music, this person, this song or this album made me want to go and become a musician? Was there an album like that or an artist?
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, it probably was Garth, just because to me, Garth, you know, I was a huge music lover. I loved all different kind of genres. I always have. But to me, Garth was the first time I ever saw like a real entertainer. Like, he was more than just a singer. He was more than just a, you know, a songwriter. But he was like up there putting on a show. And to me, like, that was pretty ground shaking, man, to see someone who could like command an audience like that. And yes, someone who like people would stand in line like for hours. I always would hear these stories about like Garth, like would stand in line for, you know, hours with his fans after a show, and like just the commitment to his fan base. And so like that's somebody I've really tried to model my career after, like just going that extra mile for the fans. And I mean, you know, what a legacy he's left. And I mean, you know, just an absolute superstar. So yeah, I would say like if there was one I had to put, I mean, there's been a lot, but I had to pick one, I would say Garth.
Yeah, no, and again, I appreciate that, because it wasn't like, you know, just name one artist that influenced you. You know, I mentioned a bunch of them, but just the fact that you said like, and I think you get it, like, you know, fans like your music and you want to be good to the fans, and you saw like one of the best of that to do it and of all time, Garth Brooks, make sure he was there for his fans. I think once you do that, there's a connection. It's like, you're like, I'm going to stick with this musician because they stayed for me. And I know there's thousands of people that wanted to see him. So love that, man. Again, being kind, being, you know, just making sure you're walking in someone's shoes. Cause like Garth is probably like, these people probably waited for, you know, well, maybe now online to buy tickets. But like back in the day, it's like, I remember like you had to go to Ticketmaster or like those booths and like wait for tickets and stuff like that. So
you're dating yourself, Art. You're dating yourself.
Oh, yeah. 42 years old, what can I say, man? All right. Again, I appreciate you sharing the insight on music and, of course, your fatherhood journey. Finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. She's three, so I'm not, maybe it doesn't have to be a movie because if she doesn't stay for the whole movie.
Right, but, yeah, it's tough.
is there a favorite family movie or show you guys are watching right now?
Man, actually, she's a huge fan of The Mandalorian, which is like pretty advanced for a three-year-old, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes. Actually, I'm right, man. Nice.
That's the only show I can get her to set through. I mean, and let's be honest, she's just hanging around for the Baby Yoda scenes, you know? But like, in the meantime, I get to watch like cool cowboy westerns with her, so I like it.
Nice, man. As you can tell, a big Star Wars fan, so you just
made that day right there. Yes, I love it.
This is your wheelhouse, and it can be a song that, you know, you've written and performed at, or is there like a favorite family song you guys are like dancing to right now that you'd like to share with us?
Oh man, she loves music so much. Like we probably have like a new song about every day. I think the most recent one that we kind of like every night, like before we go to bed, like we try to do like a little like 10-15 minute dance in the living room session.
Hire them out. Good job.
Yeah, yeah, dude. She's a really big fan of like Cocomelon. I know she's still like 2 to 3. I don't know if you ever heard of any Cocomelon stuff, but it's mostly just like a bunch of kids songs, you know, that they redo. But a soundtrack we listen to nonstop is, have you seen Moana?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Dude, that soundtrack is unreal.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, that's probably a classic go-to for us. And then Bluey. Bluey's awesome. That's a hilarious show. Yeah. And a great soundtrack. I appreciate, like, I think more than ever now, like, good kids songwriting, man. Like, you think about these soundtracks that just, like for me, it was The Lion King, you know? When I was a kid, like, I was singing that thing forever. So it's like, it's cool to see how these songs are constructed for kids, you know? And there's some great ones out there.
No doubt. Like, yeah, like The Lion King, it's like, you hear that and it just takes you back. And then so when... Yeah. Your daughter is going to be, you know, your age, and all of a sudden she hears something from Moana. It's going to take her back and just remember right. the good times, you know, she had with you. So I love it. Do you remember the first album you purchased?
Man, the first album I purchased, dude, you know, I think it was Pearl Jam 10.
Okay.
Yeah. It was in, and I remember because I had to spend $19.99 for it. And I was like, this was like giving up $18,000. Like, I couldn't believe how it took me a year to get this $20. You know how many times I had to rake up the leaves in the yard to get this $20? And now I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to spend $19 for, like, you know, a song or two I'd heard like on MTV or VH1. But it, I mean, obviously a great record. But yeah, I distinctly remember going into Walmart to buy that record. I have no idea what year that would have been, probably like the early 90s or mid 90s. But yeah, but you know, that was honestly though, I kind of still wish it was that way, man, because I feel like we were so invested. Like when you walked into an album store or a Walmart or whatever, and you went to a rack and physically picked up a record, bought it, took it home, looked through the cover, like, it's had like this thing to it, right? Like this kinesthetic relationship with, like, it's a part of you now, you know, like you put some skin in the game to get it. So I don't know if kids will ever, and sorry to sound like an old man, but like, I don't know if kids will ever like quite experience that, you know? And it was a good feeling. Well, despite losing the $20, but you know,
hey, you're not the one dating yourself about standing in line for tickets. So
I know. And here I go. Here I go, dude.
But no, I think you're right. Just quickly, before the last question, I remember buying a CD, opening it up, and I'd always love when it had the lyrics. So not that I'd be singing along, but I can just read along and see what they're saying. Because you always, I mean, you know, there's probably like fans know most of your lyrics, but like they might not know because, you know, when you're singing, I'm preaching to the choir here, you can't just say like the rap. Like you got to just say right. like all, you got to like put it in unison and stuff. So like, I always love when people are like, what was that Elton John song? Or like whatever the case may be, it's like, why is he talking about Tony Danza? Like, what's going on, right?
I know, what's going on? No, it's a good point. That's a really good point. And you know, like with our, you know, with our parents and grandparents, it was albums, like they had vinyl, and it was like even more so, like then it was like really like a piece of art, like in your hands. But that's like one thing I think with the digital space that we kind of lose a little bit. But I mean, let's be honest, it's convenient. And it's great for like artists, you know, like me who are like up on the rise and up and coming, because it's so much easier to like get your music out there and get heard, you know, because otherwise in like 1995, we'd be competing with Pearl Jam, you know, to like get on that rack. You know?
Spread a YouTube station and have your music. And then more and more, if like obviously cream rises to the top, your music is great. People are like, hey, check this out. I just saw it on YouTube. So yeah, right. there's always pluses and minus to every era, right?
Right, dude. That's right.
And lastly, top three words you hope your daughter would use to describe you as a dad. What do you hope they be?
Oh, man. I hope loving. I mean, I really hope, you know, my kids have no question about that. Like, I try to make that a goal every day. And my parents were so great about that, like making sure I knew that above all, you know, even when I messed up, they loved me. So I would hope loving. I'd hope she would say I was fun. Yeah. I try to be, you know, we have a blast together. She is so fun to be around, and I just try to soak up all the moments. But let's see, yeah, loving, fun, hopefully wise. I got a long way to go to get there. I got a lot of learning to do. But I mean, that's my dad, man. Like even today, I always feel so blessed. Like I call my dad like when there's a busted pipe at my house, and like he'll like walk me through it. Like I don't know what I would do, man. So I hope she can always like look to me, you know, with those, even if it's just like the silliest thing, like I hope she can call me up anytime and feel that way, you know?
Love it. Great three words right there. And also too, it is a sign of wisdom showing that you always need to keep on learning just so you're not doing it all. So you're on the road to being wise, sir. I love it.
I hope so, man. I feel like I got a long way to go, but thank you.
No doubt. People, make sure you follow John on Twitter at John King Country and pick up his album, Always Gonna Be There, wherever you get music. anywhere else people, you can shout out your website just so people can, follow you and all that
good
stuff.
Yeah, always, like, if you're John King Country on socials, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, and then johnkingcountry.com. New record coming out, man. More shows coming up. 2022 is going to be awesome. It's been so good, too, man, like these first few months to be able to see some fans back out on the road as things are kind of opening back up. So always love seeing those fans out there. Dude, thank you. I'm such a fan. Like, I'm fangirling out over here being a part of this. We followed y'all for many years, so thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate the time. I know you're a busy guy, and I love just hearing about your fatherhood journey so far and the creative process, and I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
You too, bro. Thank you so much. You too.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this week's Art of Fatherhood podcast. And if you would be so kind, please leave a review, rating, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast, please download, subscribe, and review. Really appreciate it. And also want to say a big thanks to our sponsor, RPACT. They do great things to help protect our kids when they're using tablets, smartphone, whatever the case may be. We want peace of mind, and RPACT helps bring that peace of mind when our kids are growing up in this digital age. Go to rpact.com for more information.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.